giveth more grace.
Despite of all the things
things going on, this is all the more important. And thank you. We have a place to meet together. We have brothers and sisters that want to be an encouragement to each other and pray together and sing together and read the Word together. And we thank you for that. We thank you for bringing the Waltons up safely again. And we thank you for providing for them through all of this. And Lord, we're all trusting you that you will continue to provide and be able to get them up here as soon as possible and be able to continue this work on. Lord, we thank you for everything you've done for us. We thank you for watching over us. Lord, we take all that for granted almost every day, and it's good for us to stop and think about what you've done, even the little things that you've done. And Lord, we thank you. Thank you for this time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Kelly's in the hospital, and she's probably there 2 weeks. And I talked to her doctor on Thursday, and he said that it's really hard to tell what's going on right now. He said she surprised us before when she had the lung collapse. If you'll remember, she was in really bad shape, thought she was on the way out. And he wasn't sure either. And she bounced back nicely from that. So he said, we'll know more in 2 weeks. So that's really all. They're going to do some ultrasounds, CAT scan, x-ray on the lungs, and kind of see where things are. Maybe you'll have a better idea over the next 2 weeks here. So pray that she'll get a good bounce back.
Amen.
And then at the end of those 2 weeks, they'll establish whatever her new baseline is. You know, basically the best that she's ever going to be, we'll know at the end of 2 weeks here. Maybe a third. It could end up spilling into a third if he thinks there's a benefit from that. So keep her in prayer. It's in the Lord's hands. It's always been in the Lord's hands.
Amen.
He knows what's best.
All right. Keep praying.
Yes, sir.
See what the Lord will do there. All right.
Pray for my mom. She's going to be watching Lydia all week. Okay. She's already worn out, so. No one's got the energy of Lydia.
That song we just sang, number 27, goes right along with what we were just talking about just now. So, it's good work. Okay. I don't have any special announcements right now other than that the pastor is going to be here all day today, including an evening service, and then Wednesday night we're going. So, we look forward to seeing what the Lord has. Do we know anything about this? Just pray that the Lord will provide someone to be here next Sunday.
It's all possible.
We'll do.
All possible. Nothing's impossible with God.
All right.
Amen. Sorry, but amen.
Okay. Let's take our books once again and turn to number 31. I have decided to follow Jesus. Christ.
Amen.
Sends everybody her love, and she misses everybody here, too.
Amen.
So we'll keep praying for her. It's one of those situations where the body is just, the spirit's willing, but the body is just not able to do it. But the mind and the soul are still able to engage. And there have been many who have spent time just praying to the Lord for the benefit of others in that same situation. And I know she does that quite a bit. Yes. All right. Well, hopefully she'll hear this. We'll sing happy birthday to her. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. God bless you and keep you. Happy birthday to you. All right. Well, we will have two children's classes today, and they can be dismissed at this time. Ecclesiastes chapter 1.
Blessing to be back with you again this morning. Got some good news. We got a ratified contract on a house. Amen. Thank the Lord. So if I get out of here a little quick, depending on how long the morning service goes, I got to meet the realtor over at the home at 1 o'clock. But it's only about 10 minutes from here, which is a blessing. Right over there in Allentown. So the Lord worked it out. We actually found it on Craigslist. And the individual hadn't even, he's actually a realtor, and I guess he owns his own building company too, and he goes in and flips houses. But he listed on there, we found it, put a bid in on it. We thought it was going to fall through again, because the next morning he called up and said he had a higher bid. But he said, we'll give it to you if you'll waive the inspections. So I had to waive the inspections to try to get it, but I believe the Lord's in it. I definitely do, the way it all has worked out. He completely redid the inside, so thank the Lord for that. So pray for a quick closing, that there be no... shouldn't be no hang-ups or anything. Tomorrow I'm going to run down to Philly to our bank that's down there, Navy Federal, and get some things worked out. So I appreciate your prayers, and I thank everybody that did pray. I believe the Lord answered a prayer in his timing. And Lord willing, hopefully within a month we'll be up here on a full-time basis. So I'm excited about that. I'm glad. I am relieved that I'm relieved because... I'm relieved. Let me just say that, because you start looking around and this place is crazy up here. People in Pennsylvania, I don't think it's people from Pennsylvania. I think people from other states, it's just insane, this housing market and how things are working up here as far as trying to find a place to live up here. But somebody about 4, 5, 6 weeks ago, somebody had printed these out. I don't know who does it. And they laid it on the back table back there. And I thought it was kind of appropriate to read this morning because of some of the hymns we sang. And it said, the void between intent and performance. This is pretty good. Whoever wrote it, it's an unknown author. They said this. They said, we sing sweet hour of prayer and content ourselves with a few minutes of prayer each day, if even that much. We sing onward Christian soldiers and wait to be pushed into the Lord's service. We sing, oh, for 1,000 tongues without rightly using the tongue we have. We sing, blessed be that tie that binds, and let the least little offense sever it. That's not the truth. We sing about the tie that binds, yet the least little offense, we're real quick to cut somebody off. We sing, serve the Lord with gladness, and gripe about all we have to do. It is an honor and a blessing this morning to come in and sing these hymns to God. We don't come in here this morning, Jason plays the piano and Ralph leads the sing. We don't come to just sing amongst, we sing to glorify and lift up Christ. We sing, I love to tell the story and never mention it all year to our friends and associates. We sing, cast thy burden on the Lord and worry ourselves in nervous breakdowns. We sing the whole wide world for Jesus and never invite our next door neighbors to church. We sing throughout the lifeline and content ourselves with throwing out a fishing line on Sunday. That's good stuff. Whoever wrote it is right on with it. But God's good this morning. And so if you take your Bible, we're going to continue on in Genesis. And as I'm studying through the book of Genesis, I think I said it last week, it just never ceases to amaze me, the treasure trove, which is God's Word. I thought for sure that I'd be through at least the chapter of chapter 1. But I'm telling you, I sit down and I start studying, I'm thinking, Lord, I ain't never seen this before, and I've read through Genesis 1, I don't know how many times. But just as some things that come across my mind, especially late last night and early this morning, and we're going to get to, hopefully, Lord will, we'll get to it this morning, that I believe I'm not even completely sure about. And I'm just going to try to put it forth to you to see if you can dig even deeper, because I really do believe there's something there that I've never even seen before. So in Genesis chapter 1, we've gone through verses 1 and 2. We looked at verse number 2 last week. But this morning, I'd like to look at verse number 3. In verse number 3, Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 3, we'll get the context, start in verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Bible says, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Verse number 3 now, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Okay, so we're going to break this down. We're going to look at the first part here where it says, and God said, and then the next part, there be light, let there be light, and there was light. 46 times in the Bible, the phrase God said is found. Or, thus saith the Lord. So 46 times in the Bible, both New, Old and New Testament, the phrase God said, you can find it 46 times. You can find 413 times in both the Old and New Testament, you find this exact phrase that thus saith the Lord. So I might have said it last week, but what we're implying, when we take this Bible and we say that God said, whatever follows afterward, that's a pretty serious statement. Okay, because we're invoking the name of God. We're saying to other individuals or even to ourselves that God said, and then whatever follows. Okay? And another way we look at it, thus saith the Lord, and then whatever statement comes before or after. So it's implying that whatever is before or after, this is what God said. Now, this is, and I take this serious, I'm not, and I'll say it probably a million times through the years of God has heard, I'm not messing with this Bible. Because if there's statements in there that says, thus saith the Lord, and then I quote that, did he really say it? Because if he didn't really say it, I'm causing myself some issues. Because I'm saying something that God didn't say, and I'm saying that he said it. Does that make sense? That's a serious statement if you go to somebody and say, well, God said this. Well, now you just stepped out on saying, what you're getting ready to say is that that's exactly what God said. And you better make sure that's exactly what God said, or you're misrepresenting God. So the Bible, 413 times in the Bible, you're going to find where it says, thus saith the Lord. 147 of those times is found in the book of Jeremiah. And 126 of those times it's found in the book of Ezekiel. So almost half, over half of the times where it says, thus saith the Lord, you're going to find in the book of Jeremiah and Ezekiel. You say, well, Brother Chris, why are you saying that? Well, because Genesis 1 verse 3 says, and God said. The first instance of it. And what happens a chapter later? What does the devil say? The serpent. Yea, hath God said. So you see from the very, three verses into the Bible and you find a statement, God said. Well, did he say it? Because the devil immediately is going to jump on this thing. Did God really say what he said? So We, in my opinion, we need to hold in reverence and awe the very word and words of a holy God. It's not something to trifle with. It's not something to play around with. And in the questionnaire y'all sent me months ago, you asked me a question. And in law enforcement, I stood before many judges. And you don't change what a judge says. And that's an earthly individual. You don't take a judge and say, well, he said this when he didn't say it. Or you're going to find yourself in trouble. You don't even mess with the statute codes. There's statute books for the state of Pennsylvania just requiring motor vehicle laws. You don't go in and say, well, let's make an easier version to read of the motor vehicle laws. You're not going to find the easier to read version of motor vehicle laws, those statutes, when you go into a judge's office. No, you're going to find exactly what it's written about those laws. And the same thing with God. His statutes, his commandments, and his laws, we need to hold in holy reverence and awe. Psalm 119, 161 says this right up here on the banner. But my heart standeth in awe of thy word. What does awe mean? It means fear mingled with admiration or reverence. Dread inspired by something good or terrific. I stand in awe of thy word, God, because God said it. Now, take your Bible. Well, Matthew 4:4 says this, but he answered and said, it is written, when the devil's trying to tempt Jesus, Jesus answers and says, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And those three times he says, it is written, it is written, it is written, going back to the book of Deuteronomy. So Jesus is using the word of God, these scriptures, to combat what Satan's trying to do to him. So that's the key that we get. Jesus could have looked at the devil and said, get out of here, I created you. But he knows that we can't do that. But what Jesus did is he set up a principle that we can fall back on to say, okay, when the devil attacks our minds, attacks our life, we can say, it is written. I might not feel it, I might not know it, I might not understand it, but I do know this, that it is written that God said this. And I'm standing upon that rock of what God said. Okay? Take your Bible, look at Deuteronomy chapter number 8 and verse number 1. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 1. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 1. Deuteronomy 8, 1. It says, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do. That ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. Now, Moses is giving them what God would have them have, commandments, for what purpose? For them to observe them. Why? So that they may live. And then to what purpose, once they're alive, to what purpose? To go in and possess the land which God gave them. You see, most Christians are content. They get saved. They get changed, they get made a new creature, but then they don't go in to possess the land. I want this church to go in and possess the land. Let us not just be content with salvation, but let us go forward in our walk with God and possess the land that God would have as a church for us and as individuals for us. Basically growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 2. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, for what purpose? To humble thee. You see, this process of possessing the land comes at humility. God says to humble thee. Why? Why, God? Why would you want to humble me? And to prove thee and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. God's brought them out of the land of Egypt. God's called them forth. Now they're in the wilderness. And God says, here's my commandments for you to observe them so that you can live, so that you can go in and possess the land and all these promises that I have for you. But I'm going to humble you while you're in the wilderness. And I'm going to prove you while you're in the wilderness. Why? To see what's in your heart. It's a common theme over the last couple of weeks. For God to see what is in your heart. Where is your heart at? What do you desire? And only you and God know that. And God desires for you to draw close to him. Verse number 3. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger. You see, now we wouldn't normally do that. If anybody here have children, you're not going to suffer your children and cause them to hunger. Right? The first little cry of a little child, you're going to be like, give them food. And I'm sure you're giving him a lot of food, right, brother? Yeah. So you ain't going to look at him and say, you know what, Caleb, I'm going to try you these next few days to see what's in your heart, so you're not going to eat. No, he ain't going to do that to him. If he's a good father, he's going to, I'm going to give you food. But you see how God's love is way up there and our love is way down here. God says, I'm going to suffer you to hunger. Why? To see what's in your heart. Are you really hungry for spiritual things? Or are you just satisfied with some light bread? That's what up there's in, this light bread. This light bread, they began to despise the light bread. Oh, it's just the Bible. Oh, it's just, it's some book that men got, that men just put together about God. And no, it's more than that, my dear friend. It's a lot more than that. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know. Look, for what purpose again? That he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Does that exist today? Does that exist today? Because God said that man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word. Our life consists and we move by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Can that be found today? I believe it can be found. Right here, in front of me, right here. I believe it's God's words. I believe God used holy men of old time to write down exactly what he wanted written down, just as a judge has their court people and secretaries to write down exactly what he wants them to write down. I believe God did the same thing. All right? There's power in this book. Now listen. So I take it serious, but and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Take your Bible and look at Psalm 111, verse number 9. Psalm number 111 and verse number 9. Psalm 111 and verse number 9. Psalm 111 and verse number 9. Look what it says. And he sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Look what it says. Holy and reverend is his name. That's why I believe a preacher should never be called reverend. No. No, because what you're saying is you're putting yourself on the same height and position as God. Holy and reverend is his name. It ain't Reverend Welton. Absolutely not. No, it's Reverend God. Reverend Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible does say in the New Testament that a wife is to reverence her husband, but she doesn't call him reverend. Does that make sense? Holy and reverend is his name. And he's got a lot of names if you go through the Bible, right? Holy, it's holy and it's reverend is his name. Okay? So he has a name that's above every name. Correct? Now look, go over to Psalm 138, verse number 2. Or verse number 1. Now look, his name is up there. His name is way up there. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no other name like Jesus Christ. Holy and reverend is his name. But look at Psalm 138, verse number 1. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praises unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name, which is holy and reverend, for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. Look what it says. For thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. Holy and reverend is his name. And then the Bible says in Psalm 138:2, God comes in and says, now I'm going to magnify my word above my very name. Because what good is your name if you can't keep your word? Didn't deals of old time used to be done by the word? You shook a hand, it was on your, I took you at your word. There was no contracts and all signatures here. No, you said you're going to do it. We shake hands on it, and I'm going off your word. I'm trusting you. The Bible says, holy and reverend is thy name. And then Psalm 138, verse 2 says, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. His word is above even his very name. Brethren, that's why I say some people today, they take too lightly when they start messing with scripture. That's a realm I am not going to touch. The Holy Spirit bore witness with my spirit that that's the word of God before I was even a Baptist. The Holy Spirit bore witness with my spirit before I was even saved that that King James Bible was God's word. I didn't know anybody. I didn't know anything. That's it. And I'm not messing with it. I'm leaving it alone. Why? Because if this book's true and that statement's true, he's magnified his word, wherever it's at or whatever it is, above his very name. That's ground I ain't touching that ground. You want to touch that ground? You want to correct it and say it better? I ain't going down that road because I reverence that book. I reverence his word too much. I stand in awe of it. I stand in fear of it. I'm not saying something that God maybe necessarily didn't say. Right? So, holy and reverend is his name. Now, look over at Isaiah chapter 66. All these link up together. All these link up together. Psalm 111:9, Psalm 138:1-2, and then over to Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah 66, and we're going to look at verse number 2. Isaiah 66 and verse number 2. All right, look at verse number 1 on Isaiah 66. But God said, let there be light. Okay, Isaiah 66, 1. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But look at this. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and what? Trembleth at my word. Tremble means you're shaken because you're so fearful or in awe of something. You're trembling. Isaiah 66, 2, that says, God looks for that man, that individual, but to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of contrite, he realizes that he is absolutely nothing, that he is a pile of dirt that God is giving life to. And that is all we are this morning, is dirt that God breathed into the breath of life from Adam. Traces all the way back to Adam. And when we die, we go back to the dirt. This flesh, this body goes right back to the grave. It goes right back to the dirt of the earth. We're nothing but glorified worms in the sight of God. And God says, to this man will I look, even to him that is a poor and of a contrite spirit, and what trembles at my word. You don't take it lightly. I don't take it lightly. I take it very serious. Jump down to verse number 5. Well, look at verse number 4. I'm sorry. I'm going to go to verse 3. We'll continue on with the statement. Trembleth at my word. He that killeth an ox as if he slew a man. He that sacrificeth a lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offer an oblation as if he offered swine's blood. He that burneth incense as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abominations. Verse 4, I also will choose their delusion and will bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear. But they did evil before mine eyes, and they chose that which I delighted not. Verse 5, hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. Now look what it says. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, let the Lord be glorified, but he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. You know what? In verses 1 through 3 there, especially in verse 3, you find this picture of people just taking for granted and taking lightly the service of God. They brought an ox and they killed it as if they slew a man. They're going to sacrifice a lamb and they went through the motions as if they're cutting off the neck of a dog. They just were going through the motions of what God gave them, and it wasn't coming from the heart. It was just coming from duty, or maybe just this is what God said to do and I'm going to do it and then go about my way again. They were not taking serious what God said, and they were just quote unquote being religious. They were doing their religious duty, but they weren't loving God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And God here is calling them out on it. And he says in verse 5, your brethren that hated you. He ain't talking about the world hating you. He's talking about brethren hating you. And what they're saying is, let the Lord be glorified. Come on, let's just praise Jesus. Why do you have to cause division? Do you not think this book has caused divisions? Go ahead and tell somebody, one of these mega churches said, yeah, I just believe the King James Bible is what we use. Why do you have to cause division? Why can't we all just get together? God's word is in all these Bibles, and we can use whatever, and God just wants us to glorify Him. He doesn't... No, my friend. He's magnified His word above His name. His brethren said, let the Lord be glorified. Let's just glorify God. He shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. Why? Because they didn't hold in reverence and holy awe and tremble at His word. But God said, let there be light, and there was light. God said, and I believe. And I believe it's in this King James Bible. What does God's word do for us? When God says it, what does it do for us? Number one, it cleanses us and keeps us from sin. God's word is so important that it cleanses and keeps him from sin. Psalm 119 verse 9 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How can a young man get clean? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in my heart, Psalm 119, 105, or Psalm 119, 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. It will quicken us. God's word will quicken us. Psalm 119, 25 says, my soul cleaveth unto the dust, quicken thou me according to thy word. You want to be made alive? Quicken means to be made alive in a spiritual sense, to revive or resuscitate as from death or an inanimate state. Is your walk with God stale? Get in the word of God and it will quicken you. It will reinvigorate you. It'll take you from an inanimate state into an animate state for God. What does it do also? Number three, it provides comfort and hope. Psalm 119, 49 and 50 says, remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. God's word, when he says, God said, it is a lamp and a light. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Number five, it provides understanding and deliverance. Look at Psalm 119, verse 169. Psalm 119 and verse number 169. The 119th chapter of Psalms is filled with the Word of God. His statutes, His commandments, His laws, His Word. You're going to find it all through Psalm 119, and it's too exhaustive of a study for this morning. But Psalm 119, verse 169 says this, let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. Deliverance and understanding comes from God's word. It will produce sanctification and purity in one's life. John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctification, sanctity means, or sanctify means in a general sense to cleanse, purify, or make holy. It means to separate, set apart, or appoint to holy, sacred, or religious use. To cleanse from corruption, to purify from sin, to make holy by detaching the affections from the world and its defilements, and exalting them to a supreme love of God. That's what sanctification does for you. It causes you to detach from the affections and lust of this world, and causes you to exalt them to a supreme love of God, your affections and your care, or and your care towards God. John 1:3 says, and every man that hath this hope purify himself even as he is pure. Take your Bible, look at 140 here in Psalm 119. Verse number 140 in Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse number 140 says, thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. Now, it also produces faith, but also must be received by faith. God's word. God said, take your Bible and look at Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 3. The devil's going to come in and attack your mind and attack your heart to get you to question what you believe. Now, I don't know if you've ever had this before, but there's times where thoughts will come in your mind and you think, where did that thought come from? Why am I thinking this? There was a time back, I don't know, it was a while back now, but I was just driving down the road and all of a sudden this thought came into my mind, is there really a God? I don't even know where it came from. But all of a sudden in my mind, I'm starting to question, is there really a God? Is there really a God out there, somewhere out there past those skies? Is there really a God? Is there really a heaven? Is there really an earth? Just those thoughts coming in out of nowhere. Because it's the enemy coming in your mind trying to question what God said, what you know as for a fact, but it still comes by faith. I've never seen God before. I've never seen Jesus Christ. I've never heard God speak audibly. I've never seen a miracle performed. All I'm going off of is what some book says that men wrote. Right? This just didn't fall out of the sky and land in somebody's lap. God used men to record his word. How do you know what they're saying is true? Yeah. And this is another thing that gets me. Well, the original said. You're amazing because the originals don't exist. So any preacher that's up and says, well, in the originals, well, pal, there are no originals. They don't exist. That's a lie right there because you're lying. You don't know what the originals said. They don't exist. And even if you did have a brother Jason, even if I was able to somewhere and I find some institute or museum or somewhere and there's this old piece of paper, just old papyrus, let's say, and it's all crumbled up and it's pieces missing out of it, but it looks old, like been used for centuries. And there's Greek or Hebrew on it. And I bring you and I say, brother, this is the piece of paper that Paul wrote on. He still has to take it by faith because you didn't see Paul write it. Did Paul really write that? Yeah. Why? How do you know? Because it says written by Paul. You saw Paul write? You met Paul? And you watched Paul write that and then sign it? Brethren, if you sign a legal document, what do you got to take it to? A notary. Who does what? Watches you sign it. And then they notarize it saying, yes, this is really his signature for this document. It's a serious thing. But we got people that say, well, in the originals it said, you're a fool because they don't exist and you never read them and you're lying. And I'm going to call it out because it's a lie. You are lying to say the original said you never, there are no originals. Everything that we believe is by faith. Well, I'm going to go to Greek or Hebrew. You're going by faith. You don't know. You are taking it by somebody else's word saying this is what this is. You say, well, Brother Kristen, how do we know? I'm so confused. Get along with God. Number one, make sure you're saved and you've been made a new creature in Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit of God now dwells within you. And then be led and directed by the Holy Spirit of God. How did I get up here to become your pastor? Did I just say, I hope you didn't bring somebody in that has this attitude. Well, I think I'm just going to pastor up there. Maybe I'll stay here, Brother Jason, Ralph, and y'all. I think I might just stay here for 3 years. But then I'm hoping to find a bigger church after a while, and then I might move to that. That might give me a little more money and a better house. No, I'm here because God led and directed me to here. I'm up here this morning. Hopefully you're listening because we're wanting to get something from God, not Chris Welton. I don't have nothing to give you. I'm hoping to get alone with God. God lays something in my heart and I give it out to you. And then the Holy Spirit bears witness to what I'm saying, not because it's coming from me, but because maybe God's given it to me. And now it's bearing witness to you and you take it and you chew it and you go further with it. Do you understand this morning? We get so brainwashed in our churches today and our institutions and we say, the original said, no, they don't say because they don't exist. So if you hear a preacher, teacher, somebody saying that, all of a sudden there should be a red flag going up saying, okay, I'm going to watch everything else you say because you're lying to me. Because you want to sound smart and make everybody else sound stupid, and you're the only one that can give them something from God. No, I believe everybody sitting in this room, if you're saved, you can get something from God just as much as I can get something from God, whether you're a woman, child, or man. What does a Catholic church do? They won't even give you a Bible. It's illegal to have a Bible. And if you're caught with one back in old time, you can be put to death for it. It's a serious thing. Why doesn't the Catholic Church want you to have a Bible? Because it'll give you light and understanding of what God said, and it takes away the power that they now want. And it's creeping into independent Baptist churches. I'm the man of God. I've gone to college. I've got my doctorate degree, and I'm here to inform you. God help you. You see this sense of pride and air and arrogance lifted up because I'm up here and y'all are down there. And y'all ain't been privileged to do what I've done. And I got the insight. I got that inner corner on what God really said. Hogwash. Brethren, forgive me if I'm stirred up this morning, but this stuff is serious because there's an enemy of your soul. Marriages are falling apart. Kids are taking their own lives. Our society is going to pot because we've neglected the word of God. And we're religious. Well, religious brings you nothing but death. God said, and I want you, look, if there's anything I want for this church, I want you to know as an individual that you can believe and trust this book. And I want you, this is my desire, and it was a desire of my pastor, and it's my desire here, that you fall in love with the Word of God and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit of God. And you have a walk with Him. What did God want in the garden in the cool of the day? What does the Bible say? He was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. He wants fellowship with you. He wants to take you by the hand through His Word, through the Holy Spirit, and that new life you now have in Jesus Christ, and He wants to walk with you through your life. He wants that companionship. He wants that fellowship with you. He wants that love. He wants you to love Him because He first loved you. He wants that relationship, and it comes through His words. Hebrews 11, verse number 3. Look at this. Now, remember, but God said, let there be light, and there was light. I'm bringing it back around to Genesis. And we ain't even going to get where I want this morning. That's all right. Verse number 1, 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for it by the elders obtained a good report. Look at verse 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by what? The word of God. So that the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. Right? Now we're gonna close because I've gone over. But it's all right. We're gonna look at it, Lord willing, the next time I'm here on a Sunday morning. There's a lot here in verse number 3. There's this book study Bible I got here, Brother Schofield, he makes a statement about this statement that says, but God said, let there be light. And he says, I believe it's him. I'll double check. But I know one commentary that I read said, well, this is the sun. God made the sun, but it has yet to be able to be seen through the firmament and the waters yet. No, I don't believe it's the sun. Because the Bible says later on in Genesis chapter, and God made the sun. I don't believe it's the sun. So, and I've often wondered, and often I've just skipped through. In the beginning, God said, let there be light, and there was light. Okay, move on. I think there's something more here with, and God said, let there be light. What is that light? And I'm not going to say this dogmatic. I don't know, but there's something there. God said, let there be light. And we're going to look at it later on. But just to give you, there seems to be this association in Scripture of wisdom and light. The Masons, an ungodly organization of men that you need to stay away from. Satanic. Yes, all right? But what is their big thing? Wisdom and light. We're going to look at it later on, but Proverbs chapter 8 is wisdom speaking. And wisdom says, I have been of old when I was brought forth in the very beginning of creation. And we're going to look at some scriptures through the Bible that deal with this thing with light and wisdom and Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And light, it talks about light, lowercase L, and in a capital case L. Capital case L, light, is Jesus Christ. But there's a little case L, light. And we're going to look at all that later on. I didn't get where I wanted to get this morning, but that's okay. but God said. Did he really say it? And if he really said it, where can those words be found? I know I'm going over, but I want you to listen to this real quick. I wrote it down. I meant to say it. It won't take long. We'll pray. We'll get on. This is important. Your dad used to do this, and so I'm trying now to implement a little bit of what his dad did because I think it's good as the Lord leads. That verse I read there in Psalm 138, verse number 2 says, where God's magnified his word above his name. The NIV says this, the latter part. The NIV says this, for you have so exalted your solemn decree that it surpasses your fame. No, God's magnified his word. See, they don't want to say that because they realize that word doesn't magnify God or is magnified God's name. The New Living Translation says this, for your promises are backed by all the honor of your name. No, they're not backed by it. They're magnified above his name. The New Revised Standard Version for the Catholic edition says this, for you have exalted your name and your word above everything. Name and word on the same level. No, God says, my word's above my name. Because listen, my word represents my name. If my word's not good, my name's not good. If his word's not good, then his name is not good. Just as if your word's not good, then your name's not good. If you can't keep your word, and I believe God can keep his word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time this morning. Lord, I take this subject, Lord, very seriously, Lord. Lord, when it comes to these statements of God said, Lord, I want to make sure that you said it. And Lord, I believe your word is contained in that King James Bible, and I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you, dear God, for these brethren. Lord, I thank you for this time together. Lord, help us to mull over these things. Help us to meditate on them. Help us to seek your face. Lord, help us always to have a poor and a contrite spirit, dear God, that trembles at your word. Lord, help us not just to be religious, but help us to have a lively walk with you, dear God, that is a testimony to this world. And Lord, we thank you for this time this morning, and we just pray that you receive all glory and honor through the rest of these services. And we ask this in the precious, precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen, brethren. Take a little break.